My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So if you too are mad about Mickey, then this is the podcast for you. Or maybe you're the Disney novice just thinking about or planning your first ever trip to Walt Disney World, and the nearest you've got to Ariel is when you have to climb on the roof to fix your TV reception. Well, then this really is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans from all around the UK to share their memories of their magical times. And this week, we chat to Luke.
I don't think anyone likes the queue, but when there's stuff to see and interact with, you almost feel like you're not queuing.
Also going to be answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting all the latest news from the parks. And if you're thinking about heading over to Orlando in the near future, fingers crossed, all the essential information you'll need to know right now. And make sure you keep in touch with us as well. Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. We are at Pod Magical. This is the most magical podcast on earth. It's part of the Secret Recordings Network. Every episode we answer your Walt Disney World questions, and it doesn't matter if you think it's a ridiculous question. It doesn't matter. Send it over. Hopefully I might even have the answer to it. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pod Magical is where we are. Hello to Serena. We're thinking of doing a two resort stay, combining a stay at Disney and a stay at Universal. Which way round should we do it? We're going to be staying more at Disney and probably two or three nights at Universal. Two, three nights at Universal, I think you're planning it right there. And I would do Universal first to get it out of the way. Only joking. I'd do Universal first because I think we've mentioned this before, actually. If you go to Disney and then you wave goodbye to Disney, you go to Universal a few days and you're still in Orlando going, oh, we're going home tomorrow. I'd love to go back to Walt Disney World just for one day. So that's the way that I would do it. Or maybe you could split your stay and do Disney, Universal, Disney. Maybe staying at two different Disney resorts. Maybe you could do Art of Animation for a few nights, then go to a couple of nights at Universal, and then maybe three nights at a really nice deluxe hotel. See how you can play around with your budget. But that's the way that I would do it. Always make sure your last day, you want to be at Disney World for your last day. Hello to Luke. And Luke wants to know, we're thinking of doing a half term break, just a week. But which half term would you do? February, spring or October? Well, if you're looking at next year, I think February and spring might be about out of the question. October next year could be the one. If you're looking at next year or the year after, I think I would go for October. You are in hurricane season, but the weather's just a little bit cooler. February and October, the weather's going to be cooler. Spring is going to be warm, plus you've got spring break. So that would be out for me. February would be nice. You've got the Flower and Garden Festival, usually starts around the end of February. But I'd go October, because usually it's the last week in October, so you get all the Halloween stuff. So that's what I would go for if it's a half-term choice, October. Any questions for the podcast, send them over. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pod Magical is where we are. And if you would like to be a podcast guest, we are looking for new guests for the podcast for next year. Drop me a message. We can chat about Walt Disney World forever, like this week's guest, Luke. And tell us, Luke, why do you love Walt Disney World?
Well, I should think that's the way it makes you feel sort of like a big kid again is one of the big reasons that I like going to Disney. You just seem to be the most important person in the world. sort of the cast members, just nothing's too much for them. You know, it's the little details as well. It's the escapism, I think, of just going there and you're completely encompassed by being in Walt Disney World, really.
And you're saying, making it feel like you're a big kid. Now, you've been as a big kid, but you've also, the first time you went, you were telling me earlier, you don't quite remember it. When was this?
So it was 91 when I went, so I would have been 6 years old.
Right.
So it was quite a long time ago.
Any kind of memories from that when you were six, or does it all the memories come from old photographs that you see?
Well, I went, it was literally, I think I was speaking to sort of my mum and my dad and my sister, and they were sort of just reminiscing. And there was one occasion where it must have been at Fort Wilderness, we went to like a sort of almost like a barbecue, and there was big fireworks opposite a lake, and we were just eating and drinking with like a lot of other sort of holiday makers, and I just remember it being sort of quite a festive and like a period where you'd everyone was just enjoying themselves, eating and drinking and just having a good time, really.
And going in the 90s, early 90s, as a family, that was like Now it's like, it's kind of no big deal. It's a big holiday and it's a lot of money. But like early 90s, that was a big deal to go to Walt Disney World.
Oh, it was huge. It was sort of obviously, it was obviously my mum, my dad and my sister and all our extended family. We went as like a big group. So it was about a good 15 of us that went. And it was just sort of quite vague, really. But you have little snippets and sort of come into your head. And it was just, yeah, it was really, really good introduction, I think, to Disney and setting you on that lifelong. Yeah, just enjoying it, really, mate.
And you've been quite a few times since?
So, yes, I went in 2012. So I went with my sister in 2012. That was really good. We stayed off property opposite SeaWorld in a hotel there. And that was really good. So obviously there was quite a large time gap between when we first went and then when we went again. So that was just enjoyable to sort of relive Disney again. But the last time I went was sort of for a belated honeymoon, really, with my wife last September, which was quite lucky.
Yeah, getting that last one in there. And this is a horrible question to ask, but what is your favourite memory? Have you got a standout memory of Walt Disney World?
There's a couple, really. I think it would be so obviously like the last time I went. It was just arriving back there, that sort of the smell, the weather, the sort of walking down Main Street. Just getting there. You know, you're back there, you're sort of in your happy place again, aren't you, really?
That welcome home feeling, I suppose.
Indeed, it's like obviously a big holiday, isn't it? And when you're there and not a lot else comes in from outside, really. You're just completely sort of cocooned in like a Disney bubble. And that's just a great, great feeling, really.
And last time, you say, was a belated honeymoon.
Yeah, so me and my wife got married and we sort of thought, well, we'll save up and we'll do it properly. So we went to Animal Kingdom Lodge and stayed there and sort of just thought we'd go the whole hog sort of, while it was just us two. and just absolutely loved it.
Before the birth of your little girl, which you were telling me before.
Yeah, sort of little Libby. So she's 3.5 months old now. We're sort of weaning her on to Disney. And I think my mum is going to get her a Tigger outfit to sort of bounce around at Christmas and what have you. So, there'll be plenty of outfits, I think, around. My sister Emma and my dad Gary will end up buying her quite a lot of Disney stuff.
Let them.
I'll definitely, I won't stop them.
Yeah. And obviously, having a little girl, you've got the perfect excuse to go back to Walt Disney World in a few years' time when she's old enough. You can start that again and pass it on.
Indeed, we will. We're really looking forward to sort of taking her out there and introducing her to all the magic. So sort of me and Becky are sort of really, really can't wait, really. So it's just a bit unfortunate we can't really go sort of sooner than what we'd like, really. But but definitely, when she's old enough, we'll...
Yeah, when she's old enough.
We'll definitely be going out there again, so... Can't wait.
So Animal Kingdom Lodge, where you stayed last time, would you say that's your favourite resort?
So we've stayed on property once, so that was obviously Animal Kingdom Lodge, and I would thoroughly recommend it. It's fantastic. I remember listening to one of the other guests on your podcast, and she mentioned there's a smell. As soon as you get out of the bus, a smell hits you. And it's you can't describe it, but she'll know exactly what I'm going on about. It's just a brilliant smell that you get, and the architecture there, it's really done. But it was a lovely place to stay. Really was.
Let's talk about some of your other Walt Disney World favourite things. And do you have a favourite attraction?
Well, like quite a few of your other guests, Andy, I think I'm going to have to go for three of the rides. And
I'll go on.
So I think on the top spot for myself would be the Aerosmith ride.
Rock and roller coaster. Is this in any particular order, by the way? Is this 3, 2, 1?
So I'm going to start at the top, I think. So number
okay,
one.
Let's start with Aerosmith as the favourite. Okay.
So that was my favourite. I really enjoy sort of going on there and sort of the speed and the darkness and the sort of going up and down. It's brilliant. I really enjoyed that one. But the second would be the Flight of Passage. I was quite amazed at how good that was, actually.
So, yeah.
The queuing system, which we luckily got fast passes for, but we enjoyed it so much we went straight back on. It was quite incredible.
And how long did you wait second time?
Do you know what? It must have been 25, 30 minutes, you know, so it wasn't extremely long.
Yeah, not long at all.
And especially now, sort of obviously, with all the sort of the interactive sort of queuing systems they have, it was really worth sort of taking that extra bit of time just to experience it, really.
That's what a lot of people say about Flight of Passage. You go, oh yeah, you must do the actual normal standby queue and experience the full-on queue line.
Oh yeah, it is worth it. You know, no, I don't think anyone likes the queue, but when there's stuff to see and interact with, you almost feel like you're not queuing. So
yeah,
so that's worth doing. But and then I think the last one, probably a favourite of my wife Becky's and mine, was Toy Story Mania. We really enjoyed that, actually.
Do you get competitive on that?
Oh, hugely. Yeah, hugely. And I'll have to say it, because Becky would tell me off if not, that she won most of the time. So
of course she did, because you let her, yeah?
That's it, Andy. You know, I had to be the good husband and let her win, didn't I? So
you have to be, especially on your honeymoon.
Indeed. I'd be a bad husband if I didn't. So.
Could have ended in divorce.
Well, it could have done, and little Libby might not have been here. But so
exactly. Then you couldn't have gone back to Walt Disney World.
Indeed.
And it would have been a disaster.
Exactly. I've done the gentlemanly thing and let my wife win. So.
Let's quickly just give you a quick news update from Walt Disney World. There's not a great lot to tell you since the last podcast. Happening now, though, over in Epcot, the Festival of the Holidays is on. Slightly different. We haven't got the candlelight procession, which usually attracts thousands of people. They've got some great merchandise. There's a lot of Chip and Dale merchandise at Festival of the Holidays this year, if you've seen that one. Also, you might have seen the news that fireworks are back. We mentioned on the last podcast that they've been testing fireworks at Magic Kingdom. Well, they are back. Not so much a big fireworks show, not a big firework display, but every now and then at the night, during the lighting of the castle, it's got different projections on this year. And when they change them every now and then, there's a little flurry of fireworks. So it is a bit of a start, and there are slowly getting some fireworks back to the Disney parks. And also, finally, some sad news that Joe Rohde has announced his retirement from Walt Disney World Imagineering. This is the man who is the genius behind Pandora and Animal Kingdom and Animal Kingdom Lodge and Aulani, if you've been to the Disney Resort in Hawaii. He's been with the company for 40 years. He is brilliant. He is a mastermind. He is a genius. And he's going to be sorely missed. He's the guy with the big earrings, if you don't know what I'm on about. And after 40 years, he's announced retirement. Thank you for the magic, Joe Rohde. Don't forget, keeping up with all the news, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, Pod Magical is where we are. Same place to go if you'd like to be a podcast guest like this week's guest, Luke. So let's talk about food. Last time you went, did you eat at a lot of Walt Disney World restaurants? Did you have the dining plan?
We did. So me and Becky are big foodies. We love our food. So we did eat at quite a few restaurants when we were there. So I think one of our favourite ones was Gico's, actually. Really, really enjoyed that there.
That's at Animal Kingdom Lodge, isn't it?
Yeah, so where we stayed, yeah. So it was such a nice atmosphere, and believe it or not, we'd literally only been there sort of an hour and a half, and we thought, well, let's jump in at the deep end and just go for a meal sort of straight away.
Yeah.
And we really enjoyed there, and I think I had the filet mignon steak, and it was cooked perfectly, and had a nice glass of wine each. It was a really great start to sort of the holiday, and sort of being sort of on our honeymoon, the guys sort of done a lovely little card and signed it, and those little touches just went a long way, really.
Were there any restaurants that you did on the dining plan? Obviously, the dining plan, you feel like you're not paying for anything.
Yes.
But obviously, they've taken that away from us now at the moment, the dining plan. Yeah. Was there anything in the restaurants you say, do you know what, I'd definitely come back here and pay?
I would say Ohana. We really enjoyed that. There was such good food there, and there was so much of it. So, obviously, we went quite late, and we had a view of the fireworks in the distance. But the amount of food that you were getting was quite incredible, and it was really good food. So it wasn't, obviously, anything that Disney's has done well, but we were really impressed with, obviously, the quality and the amount of food.
Yeah,
I mean, me and my wife like to eat at nice places, and but the quality of food was really good, you know, and obviously the view wasn't too bad either.
Apparently you can, not that I've been to a few times to Ahana and I've never done this, but apparently you can ask for more. If you want more, they will bring you more.
You can, and I'll tell you what, I'll tip my hat to anyone that would want more, because honestly, I'd like to think I can eat, but I was stuffed. I think I would have been rolling out of there.
I always forget how much they bring. I'm eating like something and I'll think, oh no, yeah, there's more food still to come. You just forget.
I know that there was noodles, you had sort of different meats coming out, and I just, honestly, you think, when's it going to stop? And like, they were just coming round and coming round. And we went to try and go in the bar, isn't there, at the Polynesian.
Trader Sam's.
Trader Sam's, that's it. Mm. We tried to go there and unfortunately couldn't get in. But we went sort of downstairs, and there's outside on the little terrace bar, you're overlooking the lake. And we sort of had a nice drink there as well. And that was really nice, you know. So, yeah, but we also went to California Grill.
Top of the Contemporary.
Top of the Contemporary. And believe it or not, I was... the view was great, but I think the food... And I might upset a few people here. I thought it was a little outdated, and not as good as other restaurants that we'd been to. So yeah. For me, that was probably somewhere I probably wouldn't go again, but the view was fantastic, and you can't really beat that view, can you?
Especially if you can go for fireworks. Although I do fancy doing the brunch where you go during the day and just look at the castle. I do fancy that.
That might be on the old hit list the next time we go, Andy.
Make a note.
I will do.
Let's talk about planning. Obviously, at the moment, planning's a bit odd because, well, we can't go, and then there's no free dining, and then there's no fast passes. But do you have a particular strategy when it comes to booking and planning?
Yeah, so I think my strategy is delegate that to my wife.
Delegate. This is what I want to do. Sort it out.
Exactly. So, no, we for us, it was obviously we based it around where we wanted to eat and what attractions that we sort of wanted to do. So we'd obviously put the fast passes and the restaurants we wanted to, sort of obviously the restaurants would be later in the evening and the fast passes we booked for the morning, really. We timed it really well, so that we went to the Magic Kingdom on the first proper day we was there, had used all our fast passes and really utilised that app and managed to sort of get on everything within the first day, sort of booking one as soon as we'd sort of used the other. So it was really good though, but we definitely, like all the other people that have gone and been on your podcast before, you've got to plan, because I think that's the way you just utilise your time and get to experience everything you want to.
Yeah. So, and a lot of people do plan around where they're going to eat. It'll be interesting when you go next time with a little girl, whether that changes.
I should think it will.
Very different holiday.
I think our priorities will change somewhat when we go. So I think she'd want to see obviously all the characters and everything. And so I think obviously it was great to experience it as a couple of millennials, shall we say. Obviously it'd be great to experience it with my daughter and
not childless millennials
like a couple of your guests before, which was a really good listen.
Was there anything that has been there, like, well, you probably won't remember the first time you went, but like when you went in 2012, is there anything that is no longer there? You go, oh, I missed that. I wish they'd have kept that.
But do you know what? Off the top of my head, I can't think. But we, obviously, when we went then, we didn't have, obviously, the fast passes and the sort of the magic bands. And so it was very, very different to when we went sort of back last year.
Yeah.
I think you just had like these single riders, so I sort of utilized that quite a bit, me and my sister. And it was just nothing that sort of comes to sort of my head, really. We sort of just utilized sort of what we could at that time, really.
And what about getting out of Walt Disney World? Did you do anything else in Orlando?
Yeah, so we sort of, I'm going to say the dreaded, we went to Universal. So we decided to stay there as well, which was good, but it wasn't Disney.
Yeah.
It's we wanted to experience obviously all the rides at Universal and what have you, but I think in hindsight I think you could do that in 2 days. I think you could sort of buy the fast passes and see everything you want to in 2 days and then go back to Disney where...
Yeah, day in each park, Universal, Islands of Adventure, done.
Exactly. And, I mean, you can't compare them. Disney just have it sewn up, in my opinion. It's everything is so well organised and it's just, it surpasses Universal, in my opinion. So, shout out to Disney, I think.
Mickey Mouse is going, his ears are going to get even bigger if you listen to this.
Indeed, yeah. I'll try and get something.
Have you got any guilty pleasures, by the way, when it comes to Walt Disney World? I know you said you like the Rock and Roller Coaster with Aerosmith and Flight of Passage, but is there any of the rides that you really love that's a bit of a guilty pleasure?
Yeah, and I think I might surprise a few people with this. It's Frozen Ever After. The
what
Frozen
is it
ride.
About the ride you like?
Do you know what? I play rugby. So if ever anyone was ever find out, but it was, I don't know what it was. It was just me. I just really enjoyed it. Sort of, you're going in and I didn't expect much. I didn't think. So you sort of just think, oh, it's going to be like a children's ride. And we got a fast pass, luckily. So I felt quite guilty walking past all these little children sort of patiently waiting with their parents.
Yeah, no, I never feel guilty about that.
No.
If they haven't organised it, well, that's their own fault.
Well, that's true. That is true. So we sort of walked on it and sort of Becky looked over at us and she sort of just saw a grin on my face and I just really enjoyed it. I just couldn't describe why, but yeah, I just really enjoyed that. So
you couldn't let it go.
Exactly. Couldn't let it go.
So we're talking probably, what, about another 5 years before you're thinking about going back?
I think that would be a good estimate of time, Andy. I think that would sort of give this COVID business long enough to go away. And
well, we'd hope so in 5 years.
I should bloody hope so. But
5 months I'm hoping for.
Well, yeah, you and me both. So
who knows?
indeed. But definitely, I'd say 5 years. So I'll be turning 40 in 5 years and Libby will be five. And I should imagine she'd probably have another sister or brother that would be wanting to go along with us. So I think that's a sufficient period of time. But I'd like to think we could fit in a trip to maybe California or Paris between now and then.
Yeah, but before that, you've got a little girl to dress up in all those Christmas outfits.
Oh, tell me about it. There's
Tigger,
be...
all the princesses, they're all coming your way. She'll dress up as Stitch on Christmas Day, all the little baby outfits.
Well, Becky was showing me a picture of Finding Nemo outfit. So when Libby starts to walk, she'll have an outfit where so I think she'll waddle and sort of the towel moves at the back. So that'd be quite a cute one to sort of see her in.
Well, let me be the first to say this to you. And this is the first time on the podcast this year, but have a nice Christmas.
Thank you very much. Yourself.
And have a magical day.
Thank you very much. Have a magical day, Andy.
If you'd like to be a podcast guest in the new year, if you love talking about Walt Disney World, even if you've not been for ages, if you just need to get it out of your system, come on the podcast and chat about it. I'd love to find out about your favourite restaurants and characters and rides. Just drop me a message, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. Pod Magical is where we are. The top tip of the week for this episode, I always like to finish with a top tip. If you've got a little and if you've got a toddler and you've got a buggy with you, in fact, last time on the podcast, we had a top tip about a buggy or a stroller, as they're called over in America, if you're walking around the parks, it's a stroller. Make sure if you're taking one from home, it's an easy fold stroller. It's an easy fold buggy, especially if you're staying on site at Disney and you're catching the resort buses, because you will have to fold it up. Even if your little one is asleep in it at the end of a long park day, you're going to have to lift them out and carry them, because that buggy has got to be folded at all times. So make sure you've got an easily collapsible buggy, or If you think you might struggle, think about where you're staying. Maybe somewhere like Caribbean Beach Resort, because from Caribbean Beach, you can easily access Epcot and Hollywood Studios from the Skyliner. So you don't need to collapse the buggy. You just push it straight on the Skyliner, straight on the cable cars, you're on, you're off. And if baby is asleep in there, no disturbing till you get back into the room. Or if you've got a massive buggy for mum or dad, then it's the same. I wish sometimes people would push me around Walt Disney World in a buggy. Top tip for this episode, of course, if you've got any top tips or you want to be a podcast guest, you'd love to share your memories, do get in touch. We'll be back with a new podcast. Don't forget, podcast coming out every other Friday. So we've got another one in 2 weeks' time. Meanwhile, we've got loads to catch up on. If you've only just found us, you've got loads to catch up. We've got like 18 months worth of podcasts and memories to catch up on. So you can listen back. And if you haven't done so far, if you could like and subscribe and possibly give us a 5-star rating, especially on Apple Podcasts, that would be brilliant. That would really help us out. That would be our Christmas gift if you could give us 5 stars. Make sure you're subscribed. New podcast in 2 weeks from now. And until then, please stand clear of the doors.